We're back, folks, you fellow Freedom fans. This is David Allen Carmichael, the Faith and Freedom Show on the Liberty Works Radio Network. You can listen 24 hours a day, LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.com. I'd love it if you check out my website, faithfreedoms.org. There's all kinds of options for streaming things there. Of course, faithfreedoms.net will also get you some archived podcasts. We'd love it, the fact that you're listening to the show as you're driving by on the road. You might be cruising the highways or the byways. Or, hey, you know what I love about Florida? My kids really love about Florida is that you can glance over to the side of the road and look into the little gullies where the water runoff is made available there, and the little culverts. And you can say, hey, I wonder if I'm going to see an alligator. And you can. Now, some of you are really irritated by alligators. I've had some people tell me it's very frustrating. There's a lot of them they have to chase out of their backyards. You folks up here in this broadcast area don't get it as much, but I just get a kick out of it, okay? I just do. It's like when you've got, and then also sometimes one thing that I really enjoy in America is that we're starting to see things come back to us. We're starting to see deer run across people's yards. We're starting to see bald eagles coming back into neighborhoods. So things are getting better with a little diligence and people stewarding, taking good stewardship of their land. We're starting to see the wildlife coming back. It's kind of an exciting thing. Hey, that is not what I meant to talk about today. Today I'm going to be talking about something that's very difficult. If you've got kids in there, it's going to be kind of graphic because it's disgusting, but it's an issue of the day. So I'm going to be talking about, there's a article that was written by the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuals. And this is what they're doing is they're making an article. They wrote an article based upon the American, what do they call these guys? The American Psychological Association published a brochure called Answers to Your Questions About Sexual Orientation and Homosexuality. What these guys were doing was essentially charging the APA, the American Psychological Association, of being activists rather than informist. That some of their statements were not scientifically driven, they were activist driven, and toward making people think of a certain bent. So what they did is they reviewed a recent brochure, and the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuals has said the most recent brochure by the APA is a little bit more on target with science rather than activism. And what the subject is a client's right to self-determination. It says the APA has now begun to acknowledge that most scientists have long known that a biopsychosocial model of causation best fits the data. I shall put that in simple, user-friendly terms. You're not necessarily stuck with a genetic determination, that there's some self-determination with regard to homosexual conduct and tendencies. So I'm going to be talking about that today. It's going to be kind of tough. It's going to be kind of painful. It's kind of morose. It's very difficult. I did a show where I talked about in utero infanticides. Very morose, folks. But when we've got this pandemic, this threatening pandemic of dementia sweeping across America, where we get a little bit loopy with regard to the issues of the day, how we're supposed to think of things. We've cast off restraint. We have no headway that we need to keep steerage way for our lives. We've lost a vision, man. We're perishing. So it's kind of painful. When you get overweight, you got more weight on you than you want. Guess what? The change of diet is a little bit awkward. I've experienced it. So it's a little bit awkward shifting to the Weight Watchers thing. I mean, there's some benefits to doing things right that you realize right away. But there's a little bit of adjustment to the mind when you're going astray. I'm going to read this article. It says the particular document ostensibly is published to provide definitive answers about homosexuality. However, few of the assertions made in the brochure could find any basis in psychological science. Clearly a document anchored more in activism than empiricism. That's watching what things do and figuring it out by watching it. The brochure was simply a demonstration how far the APA had strayed from science and how much it had capitulated to activism. Now, that was the old way. They say the newest APA brochure is more reflective of science and more consistent with the ethicality of psychological care. The first document said, there's considerable recent evidence to suggest, notice these words, words are important, suggest is not the word prove, suggest that biology, including genetic or inborn hormonal factors, play a significant role in a person's sexuality. Well, genetic, yeah, you got XY chromosomes. That's a no-brainer. Now, and hormonal factors, yeah, I definitely, man. You know, you've got testosterone, estrogen, and a zillion other things that drive, that actually affect your brain. So there are hormonal factors. Now, what I would say, I'm going to offer to the listener, I don't know how much your activities that stir hormones will affect your propensity to continue those activities. I don't know that. That would be an interesting thing. And I wouldn't want to be a scientist to try to find somebody with a normal bent rather than some of these strange bents and try to get somebody normal to try to engage in those things that are abnormal to try to see how much tendency they would have afterward to be abnormal. That would be sick. I just hope they never do that. But let's just get back into this. So the question is, are you stuck with it? Just because you have a genetic tendency, are you stuck with that behavior? If you believe you came from a defective amoeba and you're trapped in the DNA that keeps you as a man and not able to be something else, then you might think, as Darwin said, without a prospect of having eternal judgment, divine retribution, you might just follow every impulse and instinct that comes your way because your hormones. And then you would say, well, I just can't help it. I got inspired to do this, to gratify this inspiration. Now, if you think also that nothing comes from spiritual influence, you might have just thought that it's a natural bent. Now, there's other people who suggest that there's a possibility that something external to you has the ability to communicate to you a part of you that you may not be completely in touch with, and communicate a suggestion that may not be on the basis of truth or normal. So, and you can be influenced. Now, you might be right that you maybe did evolve from an amoeba, or I'm sorry, devolve from an amoeba, because you can't gain information in DNA. You can lose it. You can mess it up. But gaining information is kind of hard. So really, you're a defective amoeba. You're trapped in humanness. So if you believe that's true, well, you might be right, and then you're going to die, and there's no reason for being on Earth. The only problem is that we see other things that suggest, let's use the word suggest, that possibly you are designed. And if there's a design, though you're limited by your design and by your knowledge of what you experience, you cannot experience the designer. See, the designer experienced you. It may be that you're designed by something external to you, and you were made for such a time as this. And there's a purpose for your life. And there also might be divine and ultimate retribution. There might be other things that you just can't get a handle on. So just something to consider, that those things, there might be something external to you that would suggest things in your behavior. And also there may be a natural tendency because of your genetic makeup that originally the normal design was to have a man and woman, one man, one woman, in matrimony, where a man would leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. And what God, the creator, the designer, the maker, put together, that no man was supposed to separate. That might be truth, okay? That's a possibility. I think it's true, but let's just say that's true. If that's true, that would be normal. And at the time of creation, it would have been typical and normal. Procreative, you see? Survival of the fittest. Those things that are fit procreate for the continuance of the species. It's something that happens. So it may be that something departing from that is abnormal, and it may become typical in a particular group that may pass an abnormality or teach each other an abnormality, pass on abnormality, but it's not normal. And so those things that become abnormal tend to not procreate. And the procreation is what helps conserve the life of those things that are normal. That's even from a Darwinian perspective, something to think about. If you're going to be objective, please let's be objective. And I'm trying to instill some thoughts that might have an objective basis, that might be reality, might be statistical, cause and effect kind of thing. So it's something to think about. I'm being challenging. I'm being provocative because, folks, we have got a disease that has taken over North America. It is a pandemic that is sweeping across this nation to emergency proportions. It's called dementia. We're losing our minds. So let's go back to this. It says there is no consensus. This current document released by the APA says there is no consensus among scientists, that means they haven't observed anything, about the exact reasons that an individual develops a heterosexual, bisexual, gay. Now, notice they say develops. Okay, so that means it develops, huh? Develops a heterosexual, bisexual, gay, lesbian orientation. Although much research has examined the possible genetic, hormonal, developmental, social, and cultural influences on sexual orientation, no findings have emerged that permit scientists to conclude that sexual orientation is determined by any particular factor or factors. Many think that nature and nurture both play complex roles, yeah? And it may be, we don't know what complex roles, just doing something that maybe innately you thought, you know, man, I probably ought not to do that. My nature and nurture tell me not to, but I'm going to try it because it's becoming typical. Well, it's also becoming destructive. Okay. If your friend went out and played around in the freeway, would you go too? Okay. Although there is no mention of research that influences new position of the statement, It essentially, it's clear that efforts to prove that homosexuality is simply a biological fait accompli, in other words, you just can't help it, have failed. Those attempts to prove that have failed. The activist researchers themselves have reluctantly reached that conclusion. Essentially, there's no gay gene or homosexual gene. I'm sorry somebody's twisted the word gay. The right to self-determination is fully recognized. The APA's document, it says mental health organizations call on their members to respect a person's client's right to self-determination. So self-determination, I'll just tell you, I have a propensity because of my history, my genetic history, to do that which is wrong. I'm depraved. You know, it's a theory that some people have that we're of a fallen nature, that our original father did things that were wrong, and it actually passed into his seed. It actually affected the seed within him. Actually, the things that he did that were abnormal caused him to make things the abnormal typical. Okay, that it actually, what his behavior did actually affected his genetic seed that he passed to the next generation. In the Bible, we give you a biblical perspective. It says that God passes the sins of the father to third and fourth generation. Be interesting biologically, see what fifth generation adjustments, what kind of statistical effect that has on preserving the species when things have been had a spread of five generations. It'd be interesting to know that. I think it'd be interesting. In the Bible, it also says that men, we don't have the authority to hold the sons accountable for the sins of the father. That's not the authority that man has. But there's an indication in the Bible that genetically, things are passed, possibly genetically. Is it divine intervention that God is holding the next generation, affecting the next generation deliberately by his mighty hand? Or is it possible that it is built into our genes, that what we do affects our genetic seed? I don't know. Well, maybe we'll know someday. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but that's a little bit beyond me. It's something to think about, though. Something to think about. So there's a theory that men have passed down a propensity to do that which is abnormal. And it is destructive. You know, biblical perspective. So of the flesh reap corruption, so of the spirit reap everlasting life. So there is a mechanism, a cure to our pandemic of dementia. And that's divine intervention, redemption, and salvation. So that's a theory that some have, that there is a creator who introduced himself to us through this spiritual dimension and has communicated people. They wrote down these encounters. And something we can read in the forecast, a redemption, a mechanism to set us free from this depravity that is innately in our genetic makeup. There's a possibility. There's a theory that is true. And it's available in the Bible. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. Good stuff. I think that is the cure to the pandemic. Dementia. We'll be back here with the Liberty Works Radio Network.